Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and joining me today is Paul Litwin. Hey, Paul.
Hey, thanks for having me, Robert.
Thanks for coming on. Paul and I go way back.
Yes.
And you're a famous web developer, speaker at conferences, trainer, and you currently work at the Fred Hutch Cancer Research Center, which is where my wife works, so shout out to our good friends there.
Colette at Fred Hutch, yeah, and we have another thing in common. We both used to work at MCW Technologies.
Oh, that's right.
But at different times.
That's right.
Consulting company that we both worked at.
Oh my gosh, we're old.
Yes.
That's the takeaway here. So that's good because we're talking about modern techniques today. Nice segue there. And we're going to talk about Git. And you are going to teach us how to get started with Git.
That's right.
So it's source code control. And it's very obviously very popular. It's kind of the rage. It's the way things are done. So give us a little background on source control and how we get to this world of Git sort of
sure.
benefits, and then we'll see how to do it.
Well, I can't go back to the beginnings of source control, but I first started using source control with VSS, Visual Source Safe, mm-hmm. probably 10 years ago or so. Been using it at Fred Hutch, where I've been working for almost 12 years. And then we made the switch to Team Foundation Server, which we've been using probably 8 or 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And until very recently, when I finally decided to learn about Git and get into Git and understand why it's potentially an alternative solution.
So what's the big difference between TFS and Git? Because they both essentially do the same thing, right?
Well, TFS and Subversion, which is probably the most common, popular, or was most popular, server-based version control system or source control system, they use a client-server model where the main repository, the only repository, is sitting on a server, and the individual desktops or laptops, whatever, are all talking to this one point, which is where the repository lives, in essentially a database. Now, source control programs like Git are distributed, also called peer-to-peer, in that there's a repo or repository at every node that's participating in the source control. So you have one on your desktop. Mm-hmm. If I'm working with you, Robert, you'd have one on your desktop. And then we'd probably have a remote that we both point to and push our changes up to.
Okay. So does that improve performance and give me offline capabilities?
Both those things, for sure, improves performance because you're always working or normally working with your local repository. So everything's local. There's no network access.
Also known as a repo.
Right. Right. And you don't check out. You just work with your files. And you then do commits to commit them to your local repo. And then you do network access when you want to push or pull changes to the remote repo.
So there's so never this concept of I have the file checked out.
Right.
Which there is in the client server version.
Right.
Right. Okay.
The other thing is there's natural redundancy because everyone has a copy of the repo plus at a remote, or you could potentially have multiple remotes and you can have different topologies and have a hierarchy even, although I haven't actually done that myself. So that's real nice. It's fast. One might say a negative is that I don't necessarily know what you're working on or what you've been doing until you push your changes to the remote repo. Mm-hmm. Of course, people can leave their stuff checked out when you're using something like TFS, which gives you the equivalent thing. The other thing is perhaps you may have more merge conflicts later in the process.
Yep.
So in TFS, if you have people checking in very often, then you may avoid conflicts. If you're working with your local repos and you don't sync very often to the remote, you could potentially have more conflicts. So that's potentially one negative.
Okay.
But I think most of it is positive, and I'm really liking it. In fact, at Fred Hutch, where I work, I think we're going to slowly move all of our source code repositories to the Git.
Okay. And it being public, it's a better model for open source or working with others that aren't necessarily all in the same company or all inside the firewall.
Yes.
Right?
I mean, if you're going to do open source, you really need to know Git because that seems to be the lingua franca of open source. working in Git versus something like TFS or Subversion,
which and it are also much seems difficult. To be a great way of making your stuff available to others. So you know, people like us who are doing demos want to make that code available to others. You know, you could put it in OneDrive and you know get a link. If you just want to give people the code, that's fine.
Right, I use OneDrive and Dropbox, whatever, to do that.
But if you want to have more of a public space where people can go to, browse around, see what's there, and then especially if you're inviting people to contribute.
Yes.
Right. So if I'm gonna have my GitHub repository of my code, which one of these days I'll get around to doing. I'm lagging on it, admittedly. That would be the place where you go to see my stuff, and then new versions could come in, and then I could invite other people to you know fix bugs if there are any, or add features, or you know we discover better ways of doing things. It's more of an open shared
or convert
process.
It to a different language or whatever.
Okay,
sure.
Cool.
It's a great way to collaborate, and the peer-to-peer nature actually transfers well to actually collaboration versus a client-server model, which is a little more, I'd say a lot more difficult to bring others in and collaborate with.
Right. So all our open source stuff is in GitHub, whether it's .NET or Roslyn or ASP.NET, you name it. It's all up in Git.
Right, right. Yeah. Microsoft has migrated from having it in other repositories to putting it all on GitHub, since that is sort of the place to be with open source, which is a great story.
Okay, so how do you do it? How do we
use GitHub,
it?
By the way, is a host
for
that remote repository. You don't actually have to work with GitHub to work with Git. They're two different things. It's just, it's one
possible.
Are they
owned by the same people?
Well, Git is open source, GitHub.
Or run by the same people.
Git was created by Linus Torvalds, so, and put into the open source thing. Okay. GitHub is maintained by a group, and they're separate.
Okay, very good.
So, but they're kind of known to be one thing, but they're not really.
Right.
And there are other repositories, like VS Online or Visual Studio Online.
Which was just renamed Visual Studio Team Services.
Right, and there's also Bitbucket is another commonly used.
So you could create your own repository site.
Oh, that's the other thing is you could have on premises. You could have your own Git server.
Okay.
And just do everything privately behind the firewall. Right. I haven't done that, and there's real advantages, of course, to having things off premises. If you have a disaster or something, you have your source code off premises.
Okay. Cool.
Okay. Should we start looking into Git? Okay.
So it's not that hard. To learn, we're going to start off with command line, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because for something like this, you really should learn the commands, and then we'll talk about other ways of doing it, particularly the Visual Studio integration.
Sure.
All right.
So I'm going to go here, and actually, I'll open up a folder, and I have this my project folder here, and it just has a few files and. Nothing fancy, it's just mostly text. I'm going to do a little trick if you didn't know from Windows. I'm going to hold down the Shift key, right click, and say open command window here. Did you know that?
I did.
Yeah, of course you did. So I have.
I don't do it often enough, but I knew it existed.
It's really handy
instead
of starting at the root and then working your way down. And then now I can actually just do a directory here and see that I have files in and the subdirectory, I think I have two files, foobar.txt and readme, and you can see I have two files in the root here of my project. So to enable Git for this project, well, first of all, you have to install Git, and I should back up. And you would get that at git.scm.org.
Okay.
Or is it .com? .com. Actually, let's just go.
We'll have links to all of these in the show notes.
Just show that. It's git.scm for source control something. I think it's, and there you get download, go to here, downloads for Windows, and set that up. And I've already done that.
Okay.
So one of the first things you'll want to do after you've installed Git is actually configure a couple of things. And this is really important when you're working with remotes. So I use Git, every Git command starts with Git at the command line. And that tells the command line to push those commands to Git, of course. And I want to do git config, And then I want to set two things. I want to set in the global settings, user.name, and I'll just set that to my name. And I've already done this, so I'm going to actually, it'll just overwrite it, which is fine. And then I can go git config global. And this is the way you'll be identified when you are pushing and pulling changes to a remote. So user.email, and then I'd enter my email, and okay. I don't need to do that as well. Once you've done that, and you want to be in the folder where you have some source, or the folder where you're going to have some files, and you just say git init. And that initializes your repository. A really common command you'll want to do after that is just git status or status. And that tells you about your repository, your local repository. It says I'm on branch master. There's always a default branch called master, one branch, mm-hmm. which you start with. And it says that I have three untracked files, although there's actually more because one's a subfolder.
Meaning there are files there that you haven't added told to git, source control?
Right.
Essentially haven't told Git about.
Right. Even though I've initialized the folder, mm-hmm. Git hasn't actually tracked any of those files yet. And I want to point out one thing. What happens in this folder, which I have right here, is now there's a hidden file called .git with basically the Git database is stored right there, a repository.
And that's going to be at every project level.
Right, that every project level will have a little Git database. And so one of the first things I might want to do is add these files to what's called the staging area. There's two different, three different places where files can be in Git. They can be untracked, which means Git is not tracking them in any way, but they're still in your working folder. Then there can be files added to the staging area, which is a sort of a limbo between untracked files or untracked changes and the repository, and then mm-hmm. there's the actual repository. So if I say git add, and then I can just say dot, which says all the files you find here. And then if I do git status again, I will see that now there's four files, because it actually enumerates the two files that were in the subfolder, so mm-hmm. it's a little different than what's up here. And these are now green, so they have been added to the staging area, but they still haven't been committed.
Right.
So to commit them, I use the commit command, git commit, and it's required to have a message. So I do hyphen M, and then a message in there.
So this is the equivalent to checking in?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'll say initial commit, and that commits the files. It gives me a little information about that. And notice if I do git status now, it says everything's good. Nothing to really show you because all the changes are in the repo. Mm-hmm. And then I might want to...
These changes are being stored locally?
In the local repo.
Okay, so you can...
We haven't even involved a remote yet.
Okay, you can do rollbacks and all the rest of that fun stuff because all of this information is... stored where? In the .git folder or
right.
somewhere else?
Somewhere under the .git folder.
Okay.
I don't know exactly where, but somewhere in there.
So does that mean that if you took that folder, copied it to your home machine, you'd be in the exact same state, or do you need to officially do that through Git?
You could copy everything and you would have another repo somewhere else.
And
they
repo
wouldn't really
would
know
have...
about each other. They'd be independent.
Right. Okay.
But more commonly, you'll just want to copy the files and create a new repo on that new node.
Okay.
The other thing you'll notice is it's really resilient. So I can come in here and delete this repo. And guess what? I'm no longer in Git. There's no repository. But all I have to do is say git init, and I'm back in business. But if I say git status, I'll notice that I don't have any files. Again, they're all untracked. So it's that easy. If you did
better
that in some other
system,
if you did that in some other systems, you might get all sorts of errors and things, and you have to do a lot of work to get back to normal. But Git is pretty simple. There's no file locks that are done while it works because everything you're doing is local.
Right.
Local repo.
Okay.
It's only later that you push up or pull down from a remote. So let's go back to doing what we said. We do add everything. So everything is added. We can look at that. I'll just clear the screen. And now we'll do a commit again. So we're starting over. But I just wanted to show that to show that it's really hard to screw up your local repo. And the one thing I would have lost there, of course, was all the commit history, but I still had the state of my local changes, which were the same as the repo in that case. So now we have these. So let's make a change to one of these files. I'm just going to pull up Notepad for, let's say, index.html. And we have Notepad. One of the things you're seeing here is, so I'll just ignore that for now. That I was using that in another example when I was doing a presentation. And so I left it with some differences in there. Okay. So I'll just say item one, just an unordered list in web development. Okay. And I'll just save it like that. Now I say git status. And I see I have a modified file.
Okay.
It's tracked. Once it's tracked, it's always tracked. But now it knows that there's a difference between it and the repository. In fact, if I want to look at the differences, I can just say git diff. And it knows to automatically give me the differences between my modified files and the repository, and it shows me the differences. And it's a little cryptic in reading, but I can see that
diff on a single file. Would it have shown you all of the files?
You do it. Yes, it would show me all the files with potentially a little paged. So I say, give me the next page and stuff. Usually, if you're going to be working with a lot of files, in most cases, you use some sort of visual tool rather than the command line for looking at differences. Let's go ahead and add my changes again. And then I do a status again. And now I have one modified file, and I can do another commit. Minus M always. And modified index.html. And there I have two versions. So what if I want to look at the different versions of commits? I just use git log, and it will show me. Let's actually clear the screen and do that again. And basically, I see here's my initial commit that I did a few minutes ago, and then here's the modified index.html. So I have the history. Now, if I ever want to roll back, I will just go ahead and check out basically this version here using its SHA-1 hash. Basically, that's how I identify that commit.
Okay.
I don't identify by this text. I actually identify it by this thing here. Okay. So let's see. What else do we want to talk about? I talked a little about differences. I can also do a diff from an earlier commit. So I can say git diff of index.html. Actually, no, I just want to say git diff here of the local repository. And let's say, see if I can select that. There's got to be a way to select that.
Mark.
Go ahead. It's copied, and I should be able to paste it in here. And I did that wrong. So I want to do diff with that.
Okay.
I don't actually, it's just implied.
Right.
I don't actually use the dot. And it's showing me the differences. This is essentially the same thing we were showing earlier before we committed, but now I can always look, and I can go from one commit to another if I wanted to show the difference between commit one and commit two, or commit seven and commit six. I can do that. It's just the first. If I leave off the first commit, then it's going to use my current working folder.
Got it.
Okay.
And you have to use that hash. You can't just give it a...
Right. an English name. And then you, with you're working with branches, you can actually give a branch name also, which we'll talk about in a few minutes.
Okay.
So what else do we want to talk about? The next thing to really talk about is a remote repo. So I have this project. I want to put it up so I can share it with others. So there's a lot of different, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of different repositories you can use, or you can even use an internal repository. For this exercise, I'm going to use GitHub. So I'm going to go to GitHub. What I'll do here is I'll create a new repository, and I'll scroll over. I have this screen kind of at a high resolution, so let me pull it down a little. And one of the things here is new right here. So create a new repository, and I'll call it my project, my toolbox project. I'll just call it because I think I already have one called that. It's Visual Studio Toolbox, really, isn't it?
It is.
Okay, VS Toolbox. And I can make it public or private. It costs money to get a private account, but for a public account on GitHub, it's free.
Cool.
And I'll just say create repository. So now I have this repository. So the next thing I want to do is identify from my local to the remote. And in fact, GitHub is really nice. It gives you the information. It says, if you want to push an existing repository from the command line, just execute these two commands. So I can literally, so I use git remote.
Push means send it from your machine to the remote?
Send changes from your, or files from your, but I first have to establish the remote connection.
Right. And pull would be to get things out of the public repository to your local.
The remote.
Remote.
Doesn't have to be public.
No, you're right. The remote.
So first thing I'll do is I'll set up, I set up the remote, but there's no connection between the two yet.
Okay.
So I'm going to do that from my local repository. I'll execute git remote add and say origin. So that means I'm going to say by default there's a remote called origin, and that's by convention. So that's going to be my origin. And then I have to give this is the URL of my repository.
Okay.
So actually really all I need is this part for now. If I know what I'm doing, so I can say remote add and then right click, paste that in, and that will connect the two up. And it looks like I made a mistake because it's not liking what I added. So, forgot to name it.
Say origin.
Yep. So. See, if I had just copied the whole thing, like it had given me, instead of having to do it myself,
was
I would have gotten it right.
Origin, add origin, does it matter?
It's add origin, sorry.
It doesn't, all right.
See, you're very helpful, Robert.
I try to be.
There we go. So by giving you no information, you know it worked.
So now you've associated the repo in that folder, the local repo with a remote repo.
Right. So, but what you'll see is this local, the remote repo still doesn't have any files because I haven't pushed anything.
Right.
Because I haven't done this thing, which says, push my changes to origin, which is the name of the remote, and the master branch, and which is the default branch. Mm-hmm. It's the only branch we have.
Okay.
So if I went here and looked here and went to my new repository, right there, there's nothing there, so it just shows this stuff. Mm-hmm. It doesn't show anything. I guess I was thinking it was going to show me nothing. But so literally just can run this, and now it's going to push my changes up. It'll show you a little information. Now when I go here and refresh the screen, you'll see there's some files.
So why is it that you haven't been asked for a password yet?
Good question. Because in the past, I've set up credentials with GitHub. So my machine is caching the credentials. My local Git instance has cached the credentials for me.
Okay. If you don't do that, then you have to
then
enter
it would give you
a
it asks you for the username.
The interesting thing
and
about the password is as you're typing, the cursor doesn't move. So it's not clear that you're actually entering a password.
Right. There's no stars, it actually just
sits
still. But you have to enter the username and then the password.
Right. Okay.
Right. But I've cached it to make life simpler for me, and which I would recommend you do.
Excellent tip. I would recommend that be like the first thing you do. Because after you enter your password once with the cursor not moving, you don't want to have to do that ever again.
In fact, the minus U in here will do that. Basically, the first time you do it, if it doesn't have the credentials stored, mm-hmm. the minus U says go ahead and store those credentials. Okay. It'll query them for you, and then it will store them.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so now what can get interesting is, of course,
so now you have this code in the remote repo sitting in GitHub for anybody to go get.
Yes.
Since you made it public.
Yes.
Cool. All right.
So if I go to the repo, let's look at making changes in the remote versus the local. So, and one of the things, by the way, that GitHub uses is anything readme.md will display right here. That's your readme file.
Okay.
And I can edit any of these files on the server. So I'm actually working on the server repo now, and I can say I want to edit this. So this was created for a talk, but now it's for Visual Studio Toolbox with Robert Green. How's that?
Perfect.
Okay, even spelled your name right?
It's really hard to misspell it.
Well, could have put an E on it.
You could put an E in the end. That's about the only thing you can do to it.
And updated the README. And now I'm actually committing directly to the remote repo.
Mm-hmm.
Then I can go down to my local here and say, go ahead and pull down the changes. It knows that it's attached to that, pulls it down. So now if I do a notepad of readme.md, and in a minute we're going to use a more sophisticated editor, but I've just been keeping that for later in the presentation, readme.md. You'll see that I have the changes.
Very good.
From the remote. So, of course, things can go wrong. Someone could push changes here.
I thought that was fixed in the latest version.
So someone could go in there and say, well, no, I think you misspelled it, Paul. Let's change that here, and that's fine. I can then push those changes. Mm-hmm. And look up here, and you'll see that. But let's say, what if we both changed it before we did the synchronization?
It hasn't changed yet. Oh. Should it have?
Push origin.
So where did you push to?
Master. I'm not sure where I pushed to. I think it did the same thing. I think we're just having a little lag here.
Is that right?
Okay, let's go back.
Is it because it's already open?
I'm not seeing those changes. Made a big mistake. The changes are only in my working folder. I didn't commit them.
You didn't commit
them. Very common mistake. I'm actually glad I met it, because you think all of a sudden you're attached to the remote. Everything you do is pushed, no, only pushes committed changes from your repo to its repo, not from your working folder. So let's go ahead.
So you checked it out, but you never checked it in, and then you sent your checked-in changes. Well,
yeah, kind of that corollary.
Is that corollary correct? I mean, can you do that?
I didn't check anything out. I just made sure I'm synced. My repo and the remote repo are totally synced.
But if you're familiar with TFS and you're learning Git, you might be thinking of things in, and you might wind up, referring to things like checking out and checking in, which can get you in trouble with people that have only used Git and don't know what you're talking about.
But in fact, Git uses the term checkout to mean something different. Okay. We'll get to
it. Of course. But as a learning tool, what you did here was you didn't check in your changes.
I didn't check in my changes,
and then you sent checked in changes to the server. It did exactly what you asked
it to do. It said everything's up to date, meaning I don't have anything to do.
Right. Which is, it said, everything up to date. What are you talking about? Push what, it said.
Yeah.
Okay.
The only thing inferred was, comma, you idiot. Okay. So now I'm going to push my, I'm going to add my working changes to the staging area. And by the way.
And you can commit dash A, I saw.
Yes.
You can commit and edit the
same
time.
So another way to do that in one way is to go to the staging area and commit it at the same time would be to commit dash A and then minus M. Because you still need a message, and corrected spelling of Robert's last name. Of course, we know this is bogus, but we're doing it anyway. Now we'll go and do a push.
And that's still, again, committed locally.
Right.
Right, okay.
And thank you for pointing out that you can do the minus A. Okay, now I go in here, of course, refresh, and I get the misspelled version.
Right.
Okay, so say someone comes in here because they know better.
Making a lot of sense.
Colette comes here and she says, you know, you got that totally wrong, Paul. let's make that change.
Yeah, the day my wife is in a Git repository is going to be an amazing day.
And then for whatever reason, I come back in here and go back and readme.md. And maybe I don't even alter that. Maybe I just do something else like, isn't this a cool project? Go ahead, save that. Then I'm going to do the same thing. I'll do a, just go ahead and commit, and I'll make a different message. And again, I'm jumping forward. I'm just going to staging and committing in one step. I'll just say another update to README. Okay, now I go ahead and try to do a push. And I get updates were rejected because the remote contains work that you do not have locally. So basically, I'm going to do a pull first. Mm-hmm. And there's conflicts. So I can go and look at that.
Because you pulled down a file that you had changed locally.
Right. And it actually has this fairly low-tech way. It's showing me head, by the way, is a term that's used for your most recent commit, your most recent local commit. It's the head of the set of commits. So it's saying everything here to these line of dashes are changes I made.
Okay.
And then everything after this is from, and then these are the changes from this other thing. So easiest way to do it is just to go and delete stuff and just fix it up the way you want it, basically. And to merge those two, I can say, well, you know what, that was really the correct spelling, but I'm going to keep that extra sentence I put in there. And then I'm going to check those changes in. This time I'll do an add first. And then I will commit. Sometimes you may have to make multiple iterations to work out the differences, just like can happen today with something like TFS.
Sure.
Reconciled. And, oh, I forgot the minus M. Got a funny error message. Okay. So I'm good, and then I can do a push, and I can, by default, it will go origin master. And now, since it knew that I had pulled down the changes, it resolved them. And now if I go up to the remote, I will see it has the merge changes.
Very good.
So obviously it can get more complex, especially if there's more files and you might spend some time dealing with differences. There are some visual tools, of course. There's VS Code, Visual Studio, and there are other tools like GitHub Desktop and other things that make looking at changes and working with differences a little easier, more visual.
Yep. And then there are tools to avoid using the command line, right? And there
right. Well,
like
GitHub
Bash or something is a
Bash is essentially a Linux command line.
Okay.
They're essentially the same thing, equivalent.
All right.
So, but there are other tools. SourceTree is one which has more of a visual look at different branches and different versions. So you might find that useful, but you're going to have to spend a little time understanding how they work if you get into those.
Okay.
But both GitHub Desktop and SourceTree are free that you can find online using Bing or Google.
Okay.
Okay, so I think we did most of what I wanted to try. Let's actually go ahead and use a tool, an editor.
All right.
Not just Notepad. okay, I'm going to start by using VS Code. So
Visual Studio Code, which we just announced,
which just wants to update itself,
beta, as well as open source.
Not going to up.
So Visual Studio Code is now up on GitHub.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
You can get the source of VS Code.
Yep. You can.
And you
can make pull requests. You can help us out. It's an open source project.
That's exciting. Okay, so I'm going to take the same folder.
So are you going to use it?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to go the same project, my project. I'm going to right click, and I've installed VS Code. So it's just going to say open with code. And when I point code to a folder versus a file, and it has a Git repository, it'll automatically say, oh, I know about Git. Here's your working files, but it gives you this Git icon as well. Mm-hmm. Now, everything's up to date, so there's not anything to do. But once I start making changes to files, and I could fill in these items and GitHub, VS Code wants to update itself.
It wants to update you the beta, the version.
So right now it's on version 0.9, I think, is what I'm using, like 9.2 or something.
0.92, and it'll update you to 0.10 something.
So should I just update it?
No, just say later.
Okay, later.
For the purposes of this, you can do it later.
Because I have complete faith in Microsoft.
You should.
I've been working with Microsoft products for a long time, and there's good and bad, but I've stuck with Microsoft because I really like the quality of software and how it pertains to what we do, and what I do at my group and personally. Anyway, so now if I click on this little tab, I see I have a change, and that is showing me changes that have not been staged yet. Let's make another.
Those icons are what? The icons
that shows that says M for modified.
And the ones to the right, there's a.
I'll get to those in a second. Okay. Let's make a few more changes to make this more interesting. Let's say, you know what? Foobar was a bad idea. Let's delete that. And let's insert a new file. Go ahead, new file. And this is a new file. And I will call it, I'll just save it and call it my new file. I did wanted to do this to show how things look here in the icons that are shown. In so notice it shows M for modified, U for an untracked file. Hasn't been tracked yet, right? And D for deleted. Now I can go ahead and stage these changes one at a time, or I can go up to the changes here and stage them all.
Stage them all, okay.
And I can undo my stage changes by hitting that. That's actually a Git reset when it unstages your changes. And in fact, if I wanted to know what it did do to make that, I can go up to here and say, show me the Git output. And I would see it did a reset right here.
Okay.
Now, it does a lot of other things because it's trying to be aware of what's in Git. So it's saying Git show, Git show, Git show, you know, a lot for whatever reason. But you'll see that that was a reset. So you can even learn from the command tool, the Git command window in VS Code, which you get to with these three little dots and show Git output. So let's go ahead and stage all these changes in one fell swoop. Now they're ready to be committed. And I commit a bunch of changes. Hit the checkbox. If I try to do that without a message, it will complain.
Okay.
And now I can go up, and it has identified, it knows by reading my Git settings that I have a repo, a remote repo, that I can sync to. And so now I'll push my changes. Sync just does a pull and then a push, by the way.
Okay.
Push. A little that, so it's done. So if I go over to online and go in here, I see my new file. I go in here, foobar is missing, so all the changes were made.
Very good.
It's really easy with VS Code, I have to say. really like the functionality built into VS Code. And furthermore, when I make changes, so let's make a change to a file. Well, first of all, we can fix this one, fix the little H here. And I can do a save. I can go here. What if I want to know what I've changed? I can do a diff there, a visual diff between my committed version and my current working version. Mm-hmm. So here's my working version here, and here's the last commit on my working tree.
Cool.
See that there? Very nice. So I can go ahead and add this, and go ahead, fixed up my new file. And there, and we can go ahead and push that again if we'd like. So let's talk about branching. So I use TFS, like I said, I've been using it for
one probably... question before we
oh,
do
go
that.
Ahead.
Go to the GitHub site.
Yes.
If you would please. Talk to me about clone.
Clone.
We're right there where it says clone in desktop.
Mm.
What's that
you know,
do?
That's a really good question.
Thank you.
That I sort of skipped over. There's two ways to work with the remote. One way is to create your changes local and then attach a remote or push all your changes up to remote, mm-hmm. a blank remote. Another way is you have an existing remote from yourself or someone else and you want to clone that to your local repository and make a local repository.
Okay.
So let's do that. Let's go to a different project. And, I have this project here called Random Acts. This is part of a talk I did.
Because if you scroll down a little bit before you do that, you can download the zip.
Yes.
So what's the difference?
You can do different options, just different ways to get it into your repository.
So if you
the easiest way is to go here.
Yeah.
And say, this is the clone URL. Why don't we use, that's the easiest way. You can also try to do it in one step or have it open in Visual Studio, and we'll use the one open in Visual Studio and we look at Visual Studio.
So what's the difference between cloning and downloading?
These are versions of cloning, essentially, or ways to get cloning. So you want to transport clone then to another machine.
Okay.
Then you can have the cloned zip. I actually haven't used download zip. So it says download the contents of, I'm not even sure if that clones it. This will clone it.
It might not, because
in GitHub
if
desktop.
If you download zip, does it just get the files?
Yeah.
I just want the files. I've put a sample up for somebody, and they're not interested in.
In cloning it? They just want to get
cloning it. They just want the files.
That's probably what's going to happen here. We do this, and it's going to download, of course, and it just gives you a copy of the files,
and
not a clone.
Okay.
Would be my guess, although I don't. Yes, I'm guessing that's it.
Okay.
We can open that. Zip and look, and you see, we don't see any Git repository. We see the Git attributes and Git ignore, which are not the same as a Git repository.
Right. Okay.
So there's no Git repository. It's just a pure copy. These two are ways to clone it directly into GitHub Desktop or Visual Studio.
Okay.
And we'll try that one later. But for now, we're going to use this one, copying that. So that gives you the URL to do a clone.
Mm-hmm.
So then I go to my command line. I can't do this from VS Code yet, anyway. I would go, and I'm going to cd up, and then I'm going to say git clone. I'm going to paste this in, and I'll name this. I think I have a version of Random Acts already with that name. I'll call it Random Acts VST. Visual Studio Toolbox. And it's now cloning that and it's set up the repository. And it's now hooked the two up. So now I actually have the files too. So if I look there, I have all the files for that project.
Okay. There you go.
And I could open that up by going to the folder. It was the easy way to do it. There it is. And I'm going to open up that in VS Code.
Okay.
And so there it is. So that's the other way we showed earlier how to take something you started locally and push it remotely, mm-hmm. but you often will have something that's remote and you want to pull it down and right. get a cloned copy of it.
Got it.
In both cases, they're hooked up. So mm-hmm. now that I can start making changes here to this for whatever reason, I can put a period here and maybe a blank line. I can go here. I have to save it first. And no, we don't want to update right now. I get the same thing. I have changes. Yep. I want to push them up. I can go ahead now. And I need to pull down first. And then, oh, I didn't commit my changes, obviously. Again, I made the mistake. They're staged. They're not so fixed or altered. README. Save that. And now I want to push my changes. And now this guy here, a little slight difference.
Yep.
Right there.
Got it.
Okay.
All right. Branching.
Branching. Let's just stick with this project here. Let's say I want to create a branch because I am...
Branches are...
Good question.
What is a
branch? A clone is an exact copy that yep. you're creating a local repository from a remote. In a branch, you're basically making a new version in your local repository because you want to fix a bug, you want to go off on some other tangent and try something out mm-hmm. before you update the master library. I mean, okay. I think we've all had scenarios where we have some code, some working code that we decide to refactor. And let's say you don't use branches, you get halfway there and you say, this isn't going anywhere.
Right.
I want to back up.
Yeah.
And what do? Control Z a million times, or maybe you can't because you've made multiple saves, stuff, so you have to undo all your changes. Not a pretty picture.
Okay. So
you generally want to use source control.
Branching gives
advantage.
You the equivalent of a restore point, right? It's a point in time that you can always go back to.
Right. Well, you can do that correct? With commits as well. But what's okay. nice with a branch is you're saying, I'm going to take some code, or I want to make a version that's going to go and diverge from the original,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm going to merge it back in later
okay.
to fix a bug. So let's say you have a shipping product. I have a shipping random acts, mm-hmm. but I want to create a new version that's adding a feature for one customer, but I don't want to modify the shipping branch.
Okay.
But then later, when I decide I'm ready to ship the new version, I can merge it back in.
Okay.
So it's common to do. To be honest, I've done it a bit with TFS, but not to the extent. Very common to use branches. Branches are really cheap operations in mm-hmm. Git, meaning they don't take a lot of cycles. They don't take a lot of time. When you work with a server tool, there's a lot more to it. So, and I can branch locally and no one else can see it until I decide to push that to the repository. So let's go ahead and create a branch. We'll go actually to the, I'll CD into my project, which was random acts VST. And I'll do git branch. By the way, if I say just git branch, it will list all the branches. And there's only
okay.
one. It's master, yep. and it's the current one. If I want to create a new branch for bug fixes, I've now created that new branch. But I'm still on, if I say git branch again,
I'm still on the master
because I haven't moved. You know, the little okay. star in the green shows me. But now I say, here's the checkout command I was talking about. This does not mean the same thing as it does in TFS.
Mm-hmm.
This is saying I want to check out a branch and make that branch the current branch.
Okay.
So now I can go and check out bug fixes. So now git branch again. And see, there's two branches. Notice VS Code as well. Notice way down here tells me the branch. Automatically knows in that folder. It that's why it keeps doing those show commands. It probably mm-hmm. does them every 10 seconds, I don't know, every 5 seconds.
Okay.
It learns about the system. And now if I click on this, I'll see all the branches, and I can switch branches using that as well.
Cool.
So go back to the bug fix branch. And so I can make changes in here. And let's just make a change for whatever it's worth. I don't know, let's put extra there. And make that three dots, just something simple for now. And go ahead, and I still need to stage those changes and commit mm-hmm. those changes. Updated README. By the way, all the new branch only exists in my local repo,
right.
But if I push, it will exist on my and I'm not seeing that. I think I have to switch back to my master branch and synchronize everything. Let's see, going back to the bug fix branch. And you'll see I still haven't told Git about it. So what I have to do actually is do a Git. So I'm still, let's see, what branch am I on? I'm on bug fix. It's interesting, this intermediate one didn't show me that mm-hmm. for some reason. I don't even know why that happened. So I want to do a push origin, but this time instead of master, I say bug fixes. And it pushes those. Now we go back up to VS Online, to random acts, and you see there's two branches lists here. Mm-hmm. Before it was last listing only one, and it shows there's a master and a bug fix branch, and it is the active branch.
Okay.
Go back here, hopefully, and I go to bug fix now, and then it will still not. Let's go ahead and try exiting and restarting. Sometimes that's. I have found, especially with the alpha version, I guess, 0.9.
Yeah, so I guess we should have updated.
I have found sometimes it doesn't pick up things. Let's go ahead and try again. And it's still not showing me that, okay. And we'll have to sort that out. Maybe the new version fixes that. I've noticed that occasionally, but most of the time it totally understands what's going on. Mm-hmm. So now I have two branches. At some point, I'm going to want to merge back into my master branch. How do I do that? It's actually two basic steps. You say git check out and go back to the branch that you want to merge to, mm-hmm. in other words, the target of the merge, which is going to be master. So I'm going to check out the master.
And then in the meantime, of course, changes can have been made in the master branch.
Right. So you could create some differences when you mm-hmm. go to merge.
Right.
In this case, they haven't been, so it's going to be pretty simple.
Right.
So I'm going to say git merge from bug fixes. And it did it. And now if I go to my master here, I see that these changes I made are there. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that in Git is branches are cheap to make, but when you're done with a branch, there's no need to keep it around. So I can then go back and say git branch bug fixes minus D, and that branch is deleted.
Okay.
If I go in here, you'll notice there's only one branch now.
Yep.
So that's pretty much branches, and let's see. A common thing when you're working with branches is I may be on this master and have some changes I made. Hate to keep picking on this file, but it's simple. Made some changes. Maybe this is version 4.6 now. Working with this file, and this is the current branch, but I'm not ready to commit this change. Maybe I haven't gotten authority that 4.6 is the new version, so I'm not ready. But someone says, I need you to fix this bug. So I need to create a branch again. So I'll create a new branch. So let's bring this up to the top. First of all, I'll say there's only one branch, master. Mm-hmm. Then I'll create a new one, and I'll call this one bug fix 2. And you might have some sort of enumeration of what your listing of your bugs. So it could be, well, maybe it could be 232.
Right.
Bug 232 you're going to fix. And I want to go ahead and make that, but I have unstaged changes, and I'm going to lose those changes if I make the branch and switch to the branch. Not making the branch, but when I switch to that branch.
Because the branch is only based off of committed changes.
Right. So they have a feature called stash. So I can say, go ahead and stash. And it stashes my uncommitted changes.
Okay.
So then I can go and create my branch. Bug fix 232 or whatever I said. I can check that out. I can go on my way and work in that. And now I want to come back mm-hmm. and sort of have my desktop again. So I come back, do a checkout of the master. But when I do that, I will just get my committed changes. So what I want to do now is do a git. I could do it a couple different ways. Do a stash pop now, and it'll pop those changes back in, and now the modified changes are in there. So if I look here, this will be the same. It doesn't go back to the uncommitted version.
Got it.
So that's a really nice feature. It's kind of like a shelf, I think it's called, creating mm-hmm. a shelf in
right.
TFS.
Shelving, yep.
Yep, that's what stashing is. So that's, I think, most of what I had to say. Did you have
Excellent.
Any questions?
No, this is great. It's really not
easy.
Hard to learn. It's clumsy, admittedly. There are steps you need to take, but it's no harder to learn than anything else.
No.
Right? I mean, anytime you learn something new, it takes time to figure it out. It's nice to have the same sense of what's going on, right? Because you're doing the exact same things as you would be with TFS. Things are called differently, of course.
Mostly the exact same things.
Mostly
but there's
the
some
exact
differences
same things.
In terms of workflow
not,
and
right.
how you
so
deal
not
with things.
100%, not at the feature level, but at the high level, you're doing pretty much the same thing. So it's just a question of what commands and what order
right.
you have to do them in. You'd have your cheat sheet in front of you.
Speaking of which,
like
there's good cheat sheets.
Okay.
This one is from GitHub, and I kind of wanted to mention resources here.
Yeah, that book, too.
If I go to GitHub here, and let's go here, and click there. And this has all information about GitHub, and it has somewhere in here, I'm trying to remember where it is a bunch of resources on Git.
Is there into the quick guide to getting started? Number one?
Set up Git, maybe. His Git help. And okay. Git help is going to tell you about resources. One of them is you can get a cheat sheet. There's a lot, if you use Bing or whatever, here I'll use Bing.
You can use Google. It's okay.
It's okay?
It's okay.
Git cheat sheet, you know? Look at that. It's already comes up in there. And there's a bunch of different cheat sheets.
Oh,
I counted
nice.
At least
okay.
10 different cheat sheets. Yeah. I like the one from GitHub.
Okay.
Because I've looked at 3 or 4 different ones. And it
cool.
just has the common commands and, you know, common
yep.
instances.
And then if you
the
go
other,
back to the Git
right.
page where you installed it from in the first place, that book.
Here's the page I was looking
good.
For. It's git-scm.com. I forgot,
yep.
not GitHub. Because
yep.
GitHub is different
right.
than where you download Git. And there's an interactive tutorial you can run on here
mm-hmm.
called Try Git, which is kind of fun. There is a book called Pro Git, and you can both read it online, and it's a full book, you know,
yeah.
it's 400 pages, whatever it is. It's got a lot of detail. And you can even download the PDF all for free. So you can have it offline as well. And there's a lot of other resources here on Git bing-scm.com. Yeah. So that's a great place to go, plus using Bing or...
And Visual Studio also has good integration with it as well.
I forgot to mention, do we have a minute to show Visual Studio?
Yes, we have a minute. Do we have time to show Visual Studio on Visual Studio Toolbox? I would say yes.
Perhaps it's a faux pas that I didn't bring it up yet. Let's actually close down this guy here. We'll leave that open. So a few different ways I can work with. I can clone from Visual Studio, or I can start locally and also attach a remote. And both are possible, and they require a few steps. And it turns out you use the Team Explorer to do your Git integration, just like TFS. So basically, Visual Studio has gradually added Git support. Yep. In 2013, there was an add-in you could install, but it wasn't default. Now, 2015, all versions, in fact, right. I'm running the community version here,
yep.
And you see it's all integrated
it's
right in the community
in,
version
right.
up.
Yep.
Right in the Team Explorer, I can work with Git as well as TFS. And if I go in here, in fact, into the Connect tab of the Team Explorer, mm-hmm. I see I can clone something from GitHub. I have a Visual Studio Online account.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a little project called Mr. Testy.
A soon to be Visual Studio Team Services account. Yes.
So in here, it's telling me these are two projects I have in there. And then this is all my local repos that it knows about. All the local mm-hmm. repos, it's figured out by querying Git to find those.
Cool.
On my machine.
I think that, would you agree that the best way to start is exactly what you were doing here? Go to the command line, type out commands.
Absolutely. If you don't know the underlying commands, then you're going to get a little confused.
Right.
And you also have then the ability to fix something if something isn't right. So as we saw, there was a bug in VS Code, but I knew how to go to the command line and do what I wanted to, so I didn't have to do it all from there.
Yep. And you just did it with text files. That very first example. So learning what it is, go to GitHub, create an account, create a repo, play around with it, learn the difference between local and what's only on local, what winds up being on the remote, make the same mistakes, you know, until you figure it out, just play around with it, get up to speed on it pretty quickly, and then you can dive into the more advanced stuff afterwards. Yeah.
And Visual Studio itself has just gotten better and better, its integration. I mean, I can go here just quickly and say I want to clone something from GitHub or from VS Online.
Mm-hmm.
Which will be Visual Studio Team Services shortly, probably by the time this ships. And I can say I want to go and grab RandomX 5, which is the ASP.NET 5 version mm-hmm. of this sample database I've created, and tell it the path of where I want to put that, and just say clone it. And now it's going ahead, and there's a problem with that.
Oh, well.
Failed to clone the remote repository. It could be because of the folder it was going to select by default. So let me try that one more time. Make this local because I'm in a VM here. Right there. And let's go out and make that. I don't think I could create a new folder there, so I'm going to have to do that. So, or is that the root? I think that actually is the root, so I could just say local projects and now clone. Yeah, that was the problem.
Okay.
I was trying to use
a
remote that was outside of the VM.
Got it.
And now I have my new repository for RandomX 5 and I can work with that, open the solution file, and
there we go.
And now I can make changes to that solution. Let's you see this is an ASP.NET 5 project. Oh, I'll just put a some sort of comment in here. Here I'll delete a dot. But you can see, and then I can the one difference that we have with Visual Studio is there's no staging area. Because it works the same way, kind of works with the same sort of scheme as TFS. There is no idea of a stage area. So you'll notice to check this change in, I'll go this, and there's commit.
Right.
So commit is the equivalent of check in, but there's no add to the staging area. It does it in one step. So it's doing a commit minus A.
Yep.
And then it will go and have a message, and messages are required, unlike in TFS where the message is optional. It is required in Git. Modified startup. Commit that, and I've committed it to my local repo. Well, notice right away it says this is you've committed this, and click here sync. I can get that to that another way. In fact, I get to that from pulling down here, and I'll see there's the sync tab. And now it's offering to push that to the remote, and now I've just pushed that to my remote on GitHub. It's that easy.
Cool.
Very similar VS Online interactivity to GitHub. You can see how easy it is.
Excellent. That is very cool. So in about an hour, we now understand how to use Git.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's really easy.
Yeah.
I mean, to do it. I'm no guru, expert, wizard, or anything. I could do it.
Don't tell that to the conferences that ask you to come down and speak. That'll be our little secret.
Yes. Well, I like to think of myself as that everyman developer.
You know, every an expert is somebody that knows more than somebody than the people in the audience.
That's
true.
That
makes us experts. Oh, now we've let all our secrets out. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me, Robert.
All right. Hope you enjoyed that. And we'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.